It is two start pitcher day, and you know what that means. We got seven low owned options that could tip the scales of your matchup in your favor. One option that just might ruin your plans.
It's about that time. Stoned
on Sports. How's it going, everybody? You are tuned into the Stoned on Sports podcast. My name is Matt. Got co-host Kyle here with me today. And that's right. It's two-start pitcher day, my favorite day of the week. We're going to throw some waiver options at you as well. Before we jump into that, if you haven't already, please give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate your support. And if you'd rather not look at our ugly mugs while you enjoy our content, we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your favorite podcast hosting providers or whatever the hell they're called. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Always excited as you are to talk about, you know, previewing the guys that'll help you next week in week nine. Give you that extra edge there with some low owned guys. So you got to ask that question, right? Y'all know what it is. To start or not to start. And I'm going to get it started today with Clark Schmidt from the New York Yankees. Boo. Not a Yankees fan, folks. He's 48% owned in Yahoo. He's got to start this Tuesday, the 21st, home at or versus Seattle, home versus Seattle, and Sunday, the 26th at San Diego. Had a start today, and he was phenomenal. Eight innings pitched. It's his longest outing of the year so far. Three hits, no earned runs, no runs at all, actually. Eight Ks, the win, the quality start. He just threw 103 pitches in that eight innings, 69 of them for strikes, and he generated 16 swinging strikes, including 10 just on his cutter alone. He finished with a 34% called strike plus whiff rate. Excellent. So total on the season, that puts him at 9 games, started 5-1, 50 and two-thirds innings, ERAs excellent at 2.49 and a 1.13 whip. He's won at least 5 innings in 8 of his 9 starts, allowed 3 or less runs in all starts, and he's allowed 1 run or less in 5 of 8 starts, including today's. Strikeout rate, he's in the top 4th, you know, best of pitchers. He's at 27%. It's the highest of his career by some distance, actually. Walk rate is just about average at 8.6. Exit velo barrels are slightly below average, so he's given up some hard contact, but the hard hit rate is pretty good at 36.1. He's in the top, you know, third of the best in the league right now. Some swing and miss to his game, does a below average job of getting hitters to chase, but his whiff rate is excellent at 29%. He's good for top 28% in the league. Uses a 5-pitch mix, gets his best whiffs on his cutter, sweeper and curve. All three of those are 30% or higher. It's not surprising his sweeper and curve have been very effective. Spin rates on those pitches are over 3,000 RPMs. A lot of movement on those balls, especially late. This season, there's only 14 breaking pitches in the entire league that average 3,000 or more. Schmidt throws 2 of them. Why is this important? Spin rate. Got that direct correlation there with pitch movement. Higher the spin rate, the later movement will pitch and hopefully fool some opposing hitters. Strand rate's pretty high at 84.3. Not very sustainable. He is 14% higher than last year. So, that's going to come down. We've talked about this in a lot of episodes. It will come down. That's just too high. I think that ERA improvement that you see with his, what is his that I said? It's pretty good. 2.49. I think the strand rate probably is likely explains a big chunk of his ERA improvement. I'll take that big increase in his strikeout percentage to kind of help balance that out a bit. Ground ball rate is low, 37%. He's in the bottom 25% in the league. I also expect this to get better as the season progresses. His career average is 43.3. That's much, much closer to MLB norms. So I mentioned he's got Seattle and San Diego. Both been pretty good the last 2 weeks. I like the parks, though. Both are bottom 8 teams and park factors. Both kind of skew better for pitchers. And I really just think his breaking stuff can really cause the Padres and Yankees some problems next week.
For sure. And I like that Seattle matchup. They lead MLB in strikeouts. They have struck out 23 more times than the second place Red Sox. Like, that's a lot. You know, both teams, they're bottom third the last 15 days in walks. But with Schmidt specifically, I like he has just 39 balls that have been hit 95 miles an hour plus. That's ninth best among pitchers with at least 100 batted ball events. And why is that important? Because San Diego has five players with hard hit rates over 40%. Seattle has six. So there's some dudes there that can absolutely pound the ball. And you look at his exit velocity, and it's just a hair under 90. We get that. But the overall hard hit rate is very manageable, very respectable. He's going to be able to miss some bats next week. He's going to be able to rack up some strikeouts. And the fact that, you know, he doesn't really walk a whole lot of guys. He comes in right around average, which is completely fine with me, especially when you're able to strike some dudes out. He's got that nice strike minus walk ratio as well. Damn solid start. Damn solid start. I think you should be able to get at least one quality start out of him next week and route to a pretty damn good week.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Another dude we like is none other than Taj Bradley of the Tampa Bay Rays. He is 43% owned, up 5 points in the last day. He's got starts against Boston and against Kansas City. Both of them are at home. He's looked pretty good in his two starts this season. 1-1 with a 2.45 ERA, a 3.02 FIP, and a 3.24 XFIP. One flat whip, 13 strikeouts, 3 walks, did allow a home run in 11 innings pitched. You love the strikeout potential with him. He showed it to us last year. This year, he's at 10.64 strikeouts per nine, just under 30%, which is crazy. He's got a very solid 27.7% whiff rate, a 10.2% swinging strike rate is a little below average. But he is giving you a respectable 63.5% first pitch strike rate, and he's throwing strikes 63% overall. So you would like to see him be a little bit more efficient. However, he has cut down on the walks from last year, at least through his first couple starts. Just 2.45 walks per nine, good for 6.8%. And he's got that stellar 22.7% strikeout minus walk rate. Hard contact, though, that is a totally different story. A 94.2 mile an hour exit velocity puts him in the bottom 5%. A 22.2% barrel rate, bottom 11%. And a 51.9% hard hit rate, also bottom 5%. Folks, we're talking about two starts here. Don't get your panties in a bunch over those numbers, though. His overall contact is a touch high at 78.3, as is his 88.9% zone contact rate, but his outside to zone contact rate is light at just 58.6%. He is not throwing anywhere near the amount of ground balls that he did last season. He's down to 29.6%, which is 15 points below league average. Meanwhile, his fly ball rate is at 37% and the line drive rate, it's just an insane 33 1/3%. For reference, when you look at hitters with 150 or more plate appearances, Shohei Ohtani leads the MLB with a 32.8% line drive rate. So basically what I'm saying is 33.3, that's a damn lot. And given all that, it is amazing. He's got 269 BABIP. Again, two games. His strand rate high, 84.9%. It's a two-game sample. Not really worth worrying about. We know what's going to happen with that. He faced Boston yesterday. Allowed two earned runs, one walk, six strikeouts. Did allow a home run over five innings pitched. And I think, Kyle, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Pitcher ERA is generally a quarter to a half a run worse in the second start of back-to-back games against the same opponent.
Yes.
There was a good article by Eric Samulski of NBC Sports talking about Bradley and how he changed his pitch deployment this season. And when we talk about pitch deployment, it isn't always what they're throwing or how frequently they're throwing it, but you also want to take into account where are they throwing it and how are they using it. He is using his four-seamer up in the zone a lot more this year, and he's using his cutter low and away to righties to help negate the reverse splits that we see from him. For whatever reason, same side hitters are much better against him. Last year, they hit 282 with a 344 on base and a 946 OPS, which is just insane. That is considerably better this season. But again, just remember, we're talking about a two-start sample size, so you are going to see some volatility in there, and that's reflected in the numbers that I just gave you. Looking at the two matchups, though, I'm very happy to run him out there next week. I think if he can give you 10 or 11 innings, he can give you 15 strikeouts in those two games. He's a damn good option.
He good. You know, it's only two starts he had so far this season, you mentioned. But, you know, he's headed in the same direction. He got delayed there in spring training with, I think it was a peck or something. I can't really remember. But he's really proven to be a reliable fantasy option. You know, I'm not going to say too much because you covered the pitch mix there that I was going to talk about as well. So but he's got a favorable FIP there at the 317, so it really suggests, you know, his success so far is not a fluke and it's a result of effective pitching. I'm very high on him next week.
No, for sure. And going forward, really, Tampa Bay does an amazing job with developing pitchers and salvaging them, getting them turned around.
They do. All right. We're headed to the south side of Chicago, talking about pitcher Eric Fetty with the White Sox, currently 40% owned on Yahoo. Got to start Monday the 20th at Toronto and then Saturday the 25th home against the Orioles. Guy was in the KBO last year, pretty dominant, you know, there, had over 200 strikeouts and 180 innings pitched. He's got some good stuff. This year, he's started 9 games. He's 4-0. In 52 innings pitched, ERA is at 260, nice whip at 106. His start 2 days ago on the 14th, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 Ks. Second start in a row, allowing no earned runs and no free passes. You really like to see that. He's won at least 5 innings in 8 of 9 starts. You love to see that too. Above average K rate, just slightly above league average at 23.6, but nice nonetheless. And walk rate's very good too, 6.6. He's in the top quarter of the league. Does an average to above average job there of limiting hard contact. Hard hit rate, barrels, and exit velocity are all at or above average. Ground ball rate, excellent. He's a sinker pitcher. Typically, they have better ground ball rates. He's at 45.2. I think he has some room to improve on that even more. As he's just shy of 50% in his career averages. So more to come. Some things he's not good at. Swing and miss, not so great. Okay, bottom 10% in chase rate, bottom 33% in whiffs. Has average contact in the zone, but below average when he gets batters to chase, which I just mentioned doesn't happen a lot. I do love how his expected stats have improved. He's top third best pitchers in the league in expected ERA and expected batting average after finishing in the bottom 5% last season. Dude is tall. He's 6'4", gets great extension. He's in the top 26% in the league. So, you know, gives him a little bit of advantage because it kind of shortens the distance between him and the opposing hitters. So he's got a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. That's his fastball velo. With that extension, it makes like it looks like from a hitter's perspective that it's coming 3 miles an hour faster. Very advantageous. Strand rate is high at almost a whopping 87%, likely to drop. I don't know if it'll drop too much. I'm not an expert in the KBO, but he was at 79% last year in the KBO. His matchups I mentioned, Toronto in the last 15 days, not very good. 27th in runs, 18th in batting average, 19th in on-base percentage, 26th in slugging, and 22nd in OPS. So consistently in the bottom half the last couple of weeks. And I know the Baltimore start might scare some fantasy managers. They have cooled off as well in the last couple of weeks. Bottom 10 in runs, bottom 6 in batting average, 27th in on-base percentage and walks, and 12th in Ks. And another thing, keep an eye on this dude. The White Sox suck. You could see him traded at the deadline. Definitely, hopefully improving his team context, but I like him for next week. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I picked him up in one of my home leagues. I'm throwing him out there.
Yeah, and that would be a pretty smart decision. When you look at this dude over his last six starts, so going back to April 17th, he's 4-0 with four quality starts, a 1.93 ERA, a sub-1 whip, 36 strikeouts, 8 walks, a couple home runs, only 8 earned, though, across 37 and a third innings pitched. That makes him the SP3 in Yahoo leagues in that time frame. I mean, tell me who expected that coming into the season. You know, he's giving you roughly a strikeout per inning or close to it. His strikeout minus walk is decent. We know what the team is like. Run support is going to be a concern. You did mention that Toronto and Baltimore are a couple struggling offenses. One thing to point out there, though, Baltimore is second in home runs over the past couple weeks, but they're seemingly just a lot of solo shots. You know, neither team strikes out a bunch. They don't walk much either. I would be very happy to put him out there, and I would say I would seriously consider starting him over the pitcher we referenced that we're not all that excited about going into next week. Just a little tease right there.
Right.
Yeah, he's a hell of an option for 43% owned. Like, what better are you expecting?
Right.
Well, I don't necessarily know that this dude is better, but he's got a little bit better of a track record, and that is Michael Wacha of the Kansas City Royals. He is 31% owned this season, which is a little bit lower than I expected it would be.
Yeah,
he's got matchups against the Tigers at home and at Tampa Bay. Look, I'm a Tigers fan, but I'm not an idiot. I want to attack that offense, right? They're mid-pack in terms of walks and strikeouts, but dead last in slugging, bottom five in average, on-base runs and home runs over the past couple weeks. Tampa, flip side of that. They've been pretty damn hot. But there is, you know, about a week between today and his Tampa start. A lot can happen between now and then. Across 9 starts this year, he's 3-4 with a 4.71 ERA. XFIP about a half a run lower, and his expected ERA is a full run lower. He's got a 1.29 whip, 44 strikeouts, 17 walks, 5 home runs allowed, and 49 and two-thirds innings pitched. Michael Wacha, not a big strikeout pitcher, never really has been. He comes in just shy of 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, a little over 20.5% rate. He's got a 21.4% whiff rate, which is in the bottom quarter of the league. Swinging strike rate is at 9%. His chase rate is a little low, too, at just 27%. His walks are up a hair so far this season at just over 3 walks per 9, but his 7.9% rate is just fine. He's got a low strand rate, and his BABIP is a little high considering how well he limits hard contact. He's got just an 86.8 mile an hour exit velocity, a 33.8% hard hit rate, and a 6% barrel rate. And those are all in the top 20-ish percent of the league. He became more of a fly ball pitcher, actually starting last year when he was with the Padres. And it's kind of interesting to see that. And, you know, coincidentally, we'll call it, or maybe this is a causation kind of thing. He cut his home run to fly ball rate by doing so. And maybe it's just a product of more fly balls being pumped into that equation. Who in the hell knows? But right now it's sitting at 8.1%, which is his best mark since 2014. He's given you 5 starts of 6 or more innings pitched this year. You know, we love those innings. Detroit did get to him for 4 runs and 5 2/3 back on April 28th, but that was in Detroit. And this is a dude who kind of pitches backwards. And what do I mean by that? He leads with his changeup, throws it 32.8% of the time, and it's very effective. Just a 1.73 batting average against, a 2.01 WOBA, and a 2.28 ex-WOBA. And he gives you a solid 65% first pitch strike rate. He gives up more contact than a lot of other guys, especially outside the zone, but that contact is usually of pretty poor quality. I think he's a pretty damn good option next week. Yeah, the Tampa start could be a little iffy, but I absolutely love that start against the Tigers. And there, we'll be generous and call it middling offense.
For sure. And, you know, we've got some daily leaguers in here. You might just consider starting him against Detroit. But, you know, his ability to limit hits and maintain a decent strikeout count, he's very consistent, mostly. You know, I think it makes him a reliable option for next week.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay. Yeah, I like this guy. All right, next up is Mitchell Parker from the Nationals. 27% owned on Yahoo. Got to start Monday the 20th versus the Twins at home. Both starts are at home, in fact. And then on May 26th versus the Mariners. He's pitched six games so far. He's 2-2 and 32 innings pitched. Got a 3.09 ERA and a 1.13 whip. Had to start a couple of days ago on Tuesday the 14th. Surprisingly, against the White Sox, he didn't do so well. Got the loss. Five innings pitched, five hits. Three earned runs, two walks, three Ks. He has gone five innings in five of six starts. He's allowed two earned runs or fewer in four of six starts. Not a big strikeout guy. He's in the bottom 33%. Makes up for it in the walk rate. Excellent at 5.5. He's in the top 20%. Does allow a lot of hard contact, exit velo, hard hit rate, barrels. They're all in the bottom 38%, but does a very good job at keeping a lot of balls on the ground rate, a ground ball rate of 46.3. Doesn't offer too much in the way of whiffs. He's got two pitches, a split finger and slider with good whiff rates, but he only throws both of them 23% of the time combined. Does a great job of getting hitters to chase at 30%. He's among the top third best pitchers in the league in that stat. Although he's below average contact when he gets hitters to chase, though. So that's kind of nice. Or not kind of nice, I should say. First pitch strike, 63.3. Good for a younger pitcher. Almost 2.5% better than league average. And fastball veal, while it's below average at 90.3, he's had some whiff success throwing it at the top of the zone, and his fastball run value is great at plus three runs, ranking in the top 28%. And I think that that high fastball high in the zone there really sets up his secondary pitches very well. I watched some clips of him, and he gets some nice movement there. Minnesota and Seattle, that's his opponents. So they've both been pretty good the last couple of weeks. They're both top 10 in runs, top 12 in batting average, both top half and on base and OPS. But both starts are at home. Nationals Park, considered a hitter's park. We'll see. Nationals in the last 15 days are top 12 in on base percentage. Why am I saying that? Look. Not every matchup. This one's going bad. Not every matchup's going to be perfect, but Washington's sneaky good. They got the ability to get on base and get around the diamond. They're number two in steals in the last 15 days, tied for fourth in walks in the last 15 days, and top 12 in on base percentage. So hopefully the offense can give him some run support. You know, Minnesota's been hot, but they've also had some stinkers the last week too.
Yeah, they have. And look, you brought up his four-seamer, not a ton of velo, but he's got the nice extension. It's a pretty flat pitch, meaning there's not a lot of vertical break. And when you throw it up in the zone, it makes it much more effective, and it gives it kind of that riding, I guess, impression. He has yet to allow more than three earned runs in any one of his starts. He's gone at least five innings pitched in five out of six. And when he gets any run support, and I'm being incredibly literal when I say any, the team is 4-2 in those starts. The two losses were when he got zero run support, literally none. Even though he's not a big strikeout guy, I do think he'll be able to get some against Seattle. We talked about them just a couple minutes ago. They strike out a lot, and I don't really see that changing anytime soon. And you know, with him being a lefty, it's going to help negate some of the lefty bats there in Minnesota as well. So, yeah, I think those are a couple decent starts.
Cool.
That's weird. What's wrong?
Nothing. Something disappeared from my screen. Go ahead.
Oh, nice. So next up, we have our Detroit Tiger, Casey Mize. He is 22% owned, which is up 4% over the past couple of days. He has starts at Kansas City and versus Toronto. Kansas City, they're mid-pack and pretty much everything over the past couple of weeks. Toronto, we've kind of talked about. We know they're a struggling offense. For Mize this year across eight starts, he's 1-2 with a 3.5 ERA. His xFIP and expected stats are in the same area as well. He's got a 1.19 whip, given 32 strikeouts, 5 walks, 4 home runs, and 43 2/3 innings pitched. You look at the 10 walks and you see the 1.19 whip, and you kind of wondered, like, all right, well, where in the hell is that coming from? He's averaging 8.7 hits per nine. In Detroit thus far, they've been an average team defensively. He's given up some hard contact, 45% hard hit rate, which is in the bottom 17% of the league, a 90.7 mile an hour exit velocity, which is in the bottom 12. And his barrel rate isn't bad at 7.1%. He's got a 279 BABIP. That's within variance of his career average. But he's got a career high 51.4% ground ball rate, good for the top 17% in the league, and an outstanding 5.5% walk rate, just a little over 2 walks per nine. His velo is up a couple of miles an hour, and his sinker is a thing of the past. Right now, he's essentially a three-pitch guy with his four-seamer, slider, and splitter, and that splitter is his put-away pitch, a 34.2% whiff rate. He's not a big strikeout pitcher either, just a little over 6.5 K per nine, 17.5%. And, you know, with a 21.1% whiff rate and a 26.8% chase rate being in the bottom third of the league, you can kind of see why. His 9% swinging strike rate is tied for 60th out of 79 qualified pitchers, but he does have double-digit swinging strikes in two of his last three starts, and he's pretty efficient. Throws strikes about 65% of the time. He's given up the 11th highest overall contact rate at 82.1%, but we're talking about a dude that's gone five innings in seven of his eight starts, allowed three or fewer earned runs in seven of eight, and he's allowed just one start with three earned runs. He was okay against Kansas City on April 7th or 27th. Excuse me, in Detroit, went five innings, gave up a couple earned, struck out a couple, didn't walk anybody in a 6-5 Tigers win. He has quality starts so far in half of his starts this year. And I think between the two starts he's got this week at Kansas City and against Toronto, he can get you one there as well. Just don't look for huge strikeout numbers, but I think he's going to give you some consistent innings. And I think a halfway decent shot at a win.
Yeah, he had a start yesterday, and man, if them first two batters didn't happen, he would have had a great start because he gave up a single and then a two-run jack to Brian De La Cruz, and that was the last hit he allowed over six innings. He retired 18 of the final 19 hitters from there, tied a season-high 6 strikeouts, and got tied at, what, he had 12 swing and misses, so if it wasn't just for that first jack, I mean, and he got no run support. So, yeah, it's a bummer. What do we got? Who we got in the chat?
We got Pistol in there.
Pistol.
Coming from NYC, the traffic sucks. Can only imagine, dude.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I can't do it. Nope. Nope, nope,
so,
nope.
So you are a Yankees or Mets fan? Curious.
That's good. All right. Let's start with the next guy. So, next guy's a desperation play. I'm talking about Joe Ross with the Brewers. He's just 2% owned, okay? He's got to start the 20th at Miami. I love that. And then the 26th at Boston. Both are on the road. You know, this is one of the few. He's in that small member club there of pitchers who have had two Tommy John surgery. The last one was come just 2 years ago. 8 games started so far this year. He's 2-4 and 41 innings pitched. 4.61 ERA, whips a little bit high at 1.37. Last start on the 14th Tuesday, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 6 Ks. And he was the baseball days, whiff leader with 21 of them, just missing or his career high of 22. He had a swinging strike rate that day of 23.1. Strikeout rate's kind of poor. He's in the bottom 32% at 19.3. Walk rate's rated average at 8.3, and average rate for his ground ball too at 42.6. Good swing and miss, above average chase rate, whiff rates in the top 22% of pitchers. He's a heavy slider pitcher. He tosses them 38% of the time, and that's the pitch that he gets most of his whiffs at, a very, very good 42.5%. So far this season, does get hit hard. Exit velo, hard hit, and barrels are all below average, and his barrel rate's actually pretty bad, in the bottom 20%. But in his career, he's much better, averaging 35H, which is about a percent better than league average. Both matchups are on the road, I mentioned. Fenway, that's a hitter's park. Lone Depot in Miami, that's pretty neutral. But as I mentioned before, he's a desperation play. This is, you have no other options, okay? Miami and Boston in the last 15 days, they've both been in the bottom half of runs, both in the bottom 10 in batting average, slugging, and OPS. So it's a good matchup. I say again, it's a desperation play, but I think you could feel good about it if you had to do it.
Sure. Miami, they don't really walk. It's something to keep in mind. They are going to go up there to the plate, ready to swing. He's got that criminally low 62.3% strand rate, which is fifth worst among pitchers with at least 40 innings pitched. You talked about his whiff rate. It's fantastic. Solid chase rate. And his slider has absolutely been filthy. Over his last three games, 1-1 with a 193 average against, a 226 on base, and 606 OPS, 12 strikeouts, 3 walks, 6 earned, and 16 innings pitched. It's not all that bad. And at the end of the day, this dude has been an SP4 since May 3rd, averaging 14 points per game. Is he a desperation play? Yes, but we've also trotted out a few other desperation plays that were probably much worse options than he is,
yeah,
especially with that solid start against Miami.
Even though the Tigers lost the series against them, I thought they were going to take
that shut out in two games. That's some bull-ish.
It certainly is. All right, now we got one that we're kind of going to advise you to think about a little bit harder and maybe avoid it. Who you got?
Yep. Might always be sunny in Philadelphia, but it might not be too sunny in St. Louis. That's right. I am talking about Sonny Gray. This dude is owned in 96% of leagues, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
He has starts against Baltimore and against the Cubs, both at home. Again, Baltimore is not scoring many runs, but they've hit the second most home runs in the AL over the last 15 days. Neither them nor the Cubs really strike out or walk all that much either. Or I'm sorry, Baltimore doesn't strike out or walk much. The Cubs do both a lot. And the Cubs offense has been pretty damn solid during his same time period, top 5 in many categories. And your dude's been a strikeout machine, top 8% at just under 32% rate. I like the Cubs start a little bit better than that Baltimore start in that regard. But you want to keep in mind the Orioles have 6 qualified hitters with an exit velocity over 90 miles an hour, and they got one sitting at 89.4. And when you take a look at his hard contact data, an 89.7 average exit velocity, bottom 30%, he's got a 34% hard hit rate. That's good for the top quarter of the league, but his 7.8% barrel rate is in the bottom half of the league. And he has gotten shelled in his last 2 starts at Miami and against who? The damn Angels. He's 1-1, giving up 11 earned runs, struck out 15, walked just 3, credit where it's due, 4 home runs, a 3.26 average against, a 1,068 OPS in just 11 innings. If you don't want to do the math, that's a 9 ERA. I ain't saying to bench him. I am hesitant to start him. I have that decision to make in a league, and really my only other option would be a one-start Braxton Garrett, or I could run out a desperation 2-start Joe Ross. I don't think I'm to that point yet, But if you've got somebody with an awesome matchup and just one start, I'd think long and hard about that.
Yeah. I mean, he's 34. He had an amazing season last year in Minnesota. I think he was number two in AL Cy Young. I know that doesn't matter for fantasy, really, but I didn't really think he would, you know, continue this performance that he's done so far this year. He's just been great, even getting a late start on the season. And don't get me wrong, he's been a solid starter for much of the last, you know, decade. But if you got some better options, you just want to think about it, you know, lower your expectations. It's hard to sit a guy striking out 34% of guys and only walking another 4%. I get it. It's a difficult decision.
It is. You know, just don't be foolish with it. If you don't have a better option, and likely many people won't have a better option than Sonny Friggin' Gray, lower your expectations.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Waiver time. That completes the two-start pitcher of our program here. So, waiver, these four guys we're going to talk about, they've been kind of hot. There's no warning for when a hot streak's, you know, going to cool off. You just ride it till it dies, right? And, you know, some of these teams that some of these players of these teams are on, they're not the greatest, but, you know, whether they're winning or losing, I think these four players make for a strong week nine waiver wire pickup. First guy we got going is pitcher Robert Gosser of Milwaukee. He's currently 20% owned on Yahoo with a 12% bump in the last day. He's just had two starts so far in the season. He got called up from AAA. He's 2-0 in 11 innings pitched. A 0.82 ERA, a 0.82 whip. You don't see that very often. He had a start yesterday, the 15th, went five innings, gave up six hits, just one earned run, one walk, two Ks. He was pretty good in AAA last year, pitched 135 innings. Batting average against was .233, finished with a .379 ERA. And 166 strikeouts. Walks were high in the minors a little bit last season. His walks per nine was 3.33, but looking at some of the data, he was really bad early on and really cleaned it up the last couple months of last season in the minors. Through his two starts this year, his strikeout rate's at 14.3. Not what you want to see. You'd like it to see a little bit higher, but the walk rate, 2.4. It's kind of nice. It's a small sample. You know, I mentioned just 11 innings pitched, but he's also allowing no hard contact. Hard hit rate is one of the lowest I've ever seen for a pitcher. 20.6, almost 16% better than MLB average. Very good exit velocity, too, of just 83.3. That's very, very low. And he's allowed no barrels yet so far in those couple starts. He really finds success by pinpointing hit. He's not a big fastball thrower. He's low 90s, but he really finds success in his control on that pitch and relying on the swing and miss outside of the zone with his sweeper slash slider. It's nice. It's his most thrown pitch, that sweeper, 37% of the time. Great whiffs on that pitch with a 33.3% whiff rate. You know, when you got that matching ERA and whip, that's nice. He's really shaping up to be a reliable fantasy option in lineups, definitely in deeper leagues. I'm talking about more. The great start coming in week nine against Miami. We talked about a two-start pitcher a moment ago on the 21st. And then he lines up for a couple two starts in week 10. Both at home. One's against the Cubs. You might not like that one, but another one's against the White Sox. That one really excites me. I like him for week nine. Pick him up, throw him out there against Miami. You'll probably end up dropping him. You know, and there's also no guarantee how long he's going to be up as well. You know, Brewers got DL Hall and Junis and Wade Miley still out from his Tommy John surgery. So a lot of guys on IL. So he'll be up through a few turns through the rotation. And just with every younger guy, there's bumps in the road. He's going to have to adjust to pitching at a major league level, but could be good pick for stability in fantasy rotations.
Yes, it was interesting. He is the first Brewers pitcher to win his first two starts ever. It's the 178th time that has happened. It's about half as likely as a no-hitter. And only 46 pitchers have earned wins in their first three starts. I know nobody cares. I like his sweeper so far. It's pretty effective. He's got a 33 1/3 whiff rate on that, or 33 1/3% whiff rate. And you looking at his BABIP, and I understand it, it's just a couple starts. He's somebody, and this is something that we don't bring up as often as we should. BABIP is unique to every individual player, both hitter and pitcher. Looking at Gosser in the minor leagues, he routinely carried a BABIP over 315. You know, it's just kind of how it is, but he's been pretty efficient in his couple starts, throwing 68% strikes. He's got that start against Miami, the two start the following week against the Cubs and the White Sox. Look, as long as he's limiting hard contact, I'm going to run him out there. Even if he doesn't give me a whole bunch of strikeouts, feel free to beat the ball into the ground or hit a dribbler, you know, to the first baseman or back to the mound, whatever. Get me those outs. Get me those innings pitched with minimal damage.
Heck yeah.
So what do we got here? Pistol. Willie Mays played for the Mets one summer. It is so strange seeing him in that uniform. Even if he was past his prime, I get your point there. You know, it's just kind of cool. Joe Torre giving out baseball trophies at grammar school. No shit. Pistol's going off here in the chat. We appreciate you, buddy. We got to keep moving, though. And I want to preface this by saying we do our research, right? We want to give you the absolute best waiver wire options we can. And I want to rewind to 7 days ago when we said, hey, why don't you pick up Reese Olson? He's low owned. What's he done since then? Oh, why don't you let me tell you? Two games started, 14 innings pitched, one earned, 10 strikeouts, two walks, just four hits allowed and a 13% swinging strike rate. And he still sits at 38% rostered. That's all I'm going to say on it. Just, you know, a toe to so. Yeah. Moving along. So we're headed up to the Pacific Northwest. We are talking about Josh Rojas playing a little second base, a little third base. He's just 27% owned in Yahoo leagues. Beautiful triple slash sitting at 330, 395, 482, and 877 OPS. He's went yard three times, driven in nine, scored a dozen runs. Strikes out about twice as much as he walks. He's got 23 strikeouts and 12 walks. His average is ninth. His on-base percentage is 15th, and his 395 BABIP is sixth among hitters with 100 or more plate appearances. He leads off. He's in a strong side of the platoon, but we're talking about a dude at 16 for his last 46 with on a Mariners offense that's heating up. They're third in runs scored over the past week. He's got a great eye at the plate. Both his strikeout and walk rates are better than league average. He's got excellent contact skills with just a 19.9% whiff rate. That puts him in the top quarter of the league. And his chase rate of 20.6%, top 10% of the league. Not a whole lot of power in his bat, but that's fine because he excels at getting on base and he just makes really solid contact. And looking ahead at their schedule, he should face righties in about 12 of the next 15 games for the
excellent.
Mariners.
Excellent.
So he's going to be on the field quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy that stole 23 bases 2 years ago with the Diamondbacks. It's great. And, you know, no power, he only had 9 home runs this year, but he's already got 3 home runs so far this year, so should surpass that. And, you know, the batting average is probably going to come down. He's never finished higher than – I think 270. So, you know, expecting him at 300 the rest of the way is a stretch, but great pickup. He's hot right now, like Matt mentioned, in a great offense that's heating up. Ride the hot streak, drop him when he becomes fantasy irrelevant. We got in the chat again. Oh, you got it. Never mind. All right. One more guy. No, two more guys. My bad.
There you go.
Next up, Max Kepler with the Minnesota Twins. I'm sure you guys have been hearing about him. The guy's been on fire. He's, I lost my roster percentage. Where's he at?
66% up 10% the last day.
For some reason, I had 6%. Totally missed it. But very good. He's played 26 games so far. He's 28 hits and 97 plate appearances. Guy's got 9 doubles, 3 homers, 17 ribbies, 13 runs, and 1 stolen base. His triple slash is 318, 371, 523. All excellent numbers with an OPS of 894. Since April 22nd in 21 games played, just two of those games he failed to record a hit. In eight of those 21 games, he got two hits each. Guy's been on fire. Since May 1st in 13 games, he scored a run in eight of those 13 games. Man, his strikeout rate, you don't strike out. Just 16% of the time, he's in the top 20% in the league, and he walks right at league average. Statcast, very good. Above average in all categories except for expected batting average, sweet spot, and that walk rate. And all are just a teensy slightly below average. So he's almost there. Over the last 15 days among qualified hitters, he's sixth in batting average at 386, 12th in on-base percentage of 438, 10th in slugging at 682. That puts him seventh in OPS in the last 15 days and seventh in F4 at 0.9. I know it's a simple hot streak, right? But these would all be career bests for him. He's 31. He's came off the IL. He started every game but one. He's destroying left-handed pitching this season, slashing 421 on base and 684 slugging versus lefties. So there's no fear of a platoon anymore. He'll be in the lineup most days and must be rostered in all formats until this hot streak dies.
Yeah, it and he's going to see plenty of righties here in the next few weeks.
Yep.
Look, we're talking about a middle of the order bat for a team that's scoring runs, which means RBI opportunity and run scored opportunity. And this is a lift and pull guy, right? 46.6% fly ball rate, 43.8% pull rate. What's that give us? Well, all of his home runs and six of his nine doubles have been to right field. So he is doing some damage there. He's a hell of a bat. Like you said, he's 31. He's on the back end of his prime. He can still do some damage. That 2019 season where he hit 30-odd home runs, that's an outlier season. But there's no reason to believe that he's not a 20-home run bat.
Yeah.
And if you can get yourself three or four of those here over the next several weeks with a nice batting average and you know, fewer than league average strikeouts, absolutely take that. So our last dude, and it's always surprising to me when we talk about somebody from the A's as a viable pickup, considering where we thought they were going to be coming into the season. Well, this time it's Abraham Toro. He is owned in 55% of leagues, which is a little bit high for what we normally do, but he's up 28% in the past day. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Right. He's got a 287, 340, 440 triple slash, an OPS of 780, four home runs, 17 RBIs, nine doubles. He scored 22 times, walked eight, struck out 30. He's a leadoff hitter there for Oakland. He plays every single day. He's a switch hitter, so you don't have to worry about any kind of platoon BS. And look, Oakland, they're not as bad as we thought they were going to be. They got hot there for a minute. They're cooling off a bit now. But Toro, he's still doing great, just chugging right along. He's cut down on his strikeout rate. That sits at just 18.5%. I am very happy with anything under 20%. His walk rate, just 4.9%. That's low, but he's shown in the past that he can and will draw a walk. At the end of the day, we're talking about a dude that's never even had 400 plate appearances in a season. How's he doing lately? Well, let's take a look from May 1st. A 339, 388, 500 triple slash. Yes, that's an 888 OPS. He's gone yard a couple times, driven in seven, chipped in another four doubles and 12 runs scored. He doesn't give you a lot of hard contact at all, but he makes good, solid contact at over an 80% clip. When you do that, you're going to get on base. He's doing his job and setting the table there for the team there in Oakland. And considering that, you know, I mean, yeah, now he's 55% owned, but that means that, you know, in roughly half of leagues, he's still out there.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe you're dealing with Nico Horner's hamstring injury. I know I would be one of those people who was kind of shitty when he got scratched Tuesday with no notice. maybe Toro's a decent backup option for you here for the next couple of days while they get that figured out, or Austin Riley and his side dealing with that BS.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah. You'd like to see the guy leading off walk a little bit better. But I think it's a little too low for someone leading off, but it is Oakland. But in 14 games since May 1st, recorded a hit, one hit in at least 10 games. And in those 10 games, you got a hit in a multi-hit effort in 9 of those 10 games. And he's also scored at least one run in the 9 out of the last 14 games. Very hot, very hot. He's eligible at second and third. He's played some first this year too. So if he gets fantasy eligibility at all three positions, his value only goes up.
Yep.
I like him. Heck yeah. Cool, cool. We out.
We are out.
Thanks everyone for joining us this evening for two start pitchers for week 9 and waiver targets as well. We always enjoy doing the two start pitchers. Remember, we're on Spotify, Apple, and more if you'd rather listen to us and
not look at our other pages. Yeah. Please consider giving us a like and subscribe. Have a great evening, everyone. Stay stoned.
See ya.